Good morning. Thank you for coming. Let's start on Kuf Tes Vav Amud Beis on page 115b. Today's daf is page 116. And continuing with the theme that we began yesterday, the Mishnah taught us that if there is a fire, so really there's a rabbinic law not to save things from the fire on Shabbos, out of fear that that might lead to a person extinguishing a fire on Shabbos. But they did permit to save holy books, Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah, from a fire on Shabbos. The Mishnah went on to say you could even save Nevi'im from a fire on Shabbos. You could even save Ksuvim from a fire on Shabbos. You can even save those things that are normally not allowed to be learned on Shabbos. But nevertheless, they're holy works, and you can save them from a fire on Shabbos. So the Gemara had gotten into a discussion, what happens when you have a Sefer Torah that's worn out, where letters are erased? Are you allowed to save that from a fire on Shabbos? And the Gemara had introduced the idea that it depends how many letters are left. If what you have are 85 letters, then you have the basic minimum of holy letters of a book of Torah, because the smallest book is Vayehi Ben Tzoa Ha'aron. Those two psukim are 85 letters. Let's start there. Two lines on the bottom of Kuf Tes Vav Amud Beis. Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa, our sages taught. The verse says, Vayehi Ben Tzoa Ha'aron, Vayomer Moshe, in Parshas Baaloscha, when the Aaron would travel, so Moshe would say, Hashem, arise and let your enemies scatter. And then Uvenucho Yomar, when the Aaron would set, what he would say, Parshazu Asala Kadosh Baruch Hu Simanios Milamala Lamata. This paragraph, this parsha, Hashem made for it markers, signs above and below. The two nuns, the overturned nuns, to set off this parsha, Loma Desichu, Shein Zemekoma. This is not really its right place, as Rashi points out. Lav Ba'alichos Masos Mishtoy Le'elmina. The Torah is not talking about how to travel beforehand. Where is the parsha that talks about travel in the desert? Parshas Bamidbar, where we talk about the count and the degalim and the camps and the flags. This is not the section of travel. This is Parshas Baaloscha, how they traveled. And the reason why it was written here, we'll see in a second. However, Rabbi Omer, Lo Min Hashem Uzeh, that's not the reason for these signs. It's not the reason for these nuns. The reason for the nuns is Elam Yipnei Shasefer Chashav Hu Bifnei Atzma. Because these two verses are considered an entire work, an entire sefer. Kiman Azla Hadam Reb Shmuel Bar Nachman, Am Reb Yonasan. Who does the following lesson, which is originally from Reb Yonasan, agree with? The verse says in Mishle, Chatzra Mudeh Shiva. She has carved out her pillars, there are seven of them. Elu Shiva Sifrei Torah. What does mean the seven pillars of wisdom? Seven pillars of wisdom are the seven Sifrei Torah, seven books of Torah. Keman, who's that like? It's the Gemara, the Rabbi. That's like Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who just said that the two Nunins are to point out that it's a separate book. Not to say that it's in the wrong spot, but to say that it itself is a whole book. So if you say that Vayehi Ben Tzoa and the next pasuk of Nucho Yomar is a whole book, so then you don't have five Chumshei Torah, you have seven books of Torah. You have Bereishis, you have Shmos, you have Vayikra, you have Bamidbar until Vayehi Ben Tzoa, you have Vayehi Ben Tzoa, and then from Vayehi Ben Tzoa until the end of Bamidbar, and you have the book of Dvar, so you have seven books of Torah. Keman, who's this like? It's like the view of Rabbi. Says the Gemara, Man Tana de Polagale de Rabbi. Who's the Tana who disagrees with Rabbi? Who's the Tana who disagrees with Rabbi? and holds that it's not a separate book. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, that's the view of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. The Tanya Linton of Raisa, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, Asida parsha zusha te'aker mikan, v'te'kasev bin koma. In the future, this section is going to be uprooted and written in its right place, as Rashi explains. The reason why Hashem put Vayehi b'Nesoa in Parshas Baaloscha and not in Parshas Bamidbar is because of the Satan. If there are too many Jewish sins in one spot, so that gives license to the Satan to be makatre. That gives license to the evil urge, to the Satan, to make accusations. So we don't want to have accusations on the Satan, because when he makes accusations, sometimes they're listened to and tragedy results. So Hashem put these psukim here in Baaloscha to interrupt amongst the Jewish sins. But in the future, the verse says, V'esatzfuni archik me'aleichem, I will distance the Yetzirah from you. Ki yavir memshela zadom ha'aretz, God is going to remove the authority of wickedness from earth. There won't be any Satan. There won't be Yetzer Hara. There won't be an urge for evil. There won't be any misbehavior. So once the Satan is destroyed, then also there's no need for this section. Lama Kasva here. And then it'll be written in its right spot. It'll be written in Parashas Bamidbar. Lama Kasva Kan, why is it written here? To interrupt between one punishment and a second punishment. In other words, to interrupt between one sin and the next sin. Because each sin garners a punishment. What was that second sin? The people were complaining. They were saying, we want meat. We don't like the fact that we only have the man. What was the first sin? The verse says that they traveled away from God's mountain. So where is that a sin? Reb Chanina explained Shesaru Me'achri Hashem, that they went away from following Hashem, and that was a sin. They were looking to disconnect from Hashem. Eichan Mekoma, where is the rightful place of Vayehi b'Nesoa? The answer is, Amar Rav Ashi b'Dugalim, the rightful place is when the Torah describes how the Jews camped in the desert and how they traveled. That's where we should have the section of Vayehi b'Nesoa, that when they were traveling, the cloud would lift up and everybody would follow the Aron. So that belongs over there. Ibarlu, that a question. All right, now going back to the halacha, after the agadata. So we are on daf kuf tezayin amar aleph, page 116.8. Going back to the halacha. We know that you're allowed to save holy books from a fire. Things that you're not supposed to have, you're not allowed to save from a fire. Then we said before, you don't save writings of brachos, writings of prayers. You don't save kameos, Kabbalistic incantations from a fire on Shabbos. Now they had a question in the yeshiva. Hagilyonin shall sefer Torah. What about the blank parts of the sefer Torah? The blank columns of a sefer Torah. What about those parts? Do you save them from a fire or not? Tashma, coming here, proof. We learned. Sefer Torah, Shabbalah. If you have a Sefer Torah that was worn out, that the letters have fallen off, if you can still collect out of it 85 letters, you can go in Parshas Vayehi b'Nesoa Aron, equal to the two verses of Vayehi b'Nesoa Aron, Matzilin, and you save it. Imla, but if you can't collect out of it 85 letters, ain't matzun, you don't save it. If you're going to tell me that we should be saving books, even for the blank parts of them, v'amai, so why is this so? Tepekle mishum gilyon didei. We should be saving it because of the blank parts Answer the Gemara. Balashani. There's a difference between a Sefer Torah where the letters have already been worn out. We're talking about once the letters are worn out, even the blank parts lose their holiness. Our question was, if you have our question is, when it's just the blank parts, can you save that? Tashma will come in here, proof. We learned Sefer Torah Shenimchak. If you have a Sefer Torah that was erased, if you can collect out of it 85 letters, can go in parts of Ayyubin and Sohar, equal to the two verses of Ayyubin and Sohar, Vnucho Yomar, then Matzilin, then you save. Vim Lav, otherwise ain't Matzilin. Amayna, why should that be so? Tevekle Mishum Gilyon Didza. Who cares about the letters? The blank part should be reason to save it. So Gemara says, listen, the spot where things were written and now they are erased. That's only holy because of the writing. Once the writing is gone, you don't save it anymore because it's not holy. Once the writing is gone, the holiness is left. My question was Shalmala, the Shalmata, the blank parts above the writing, beneath the writing, Shabain Parsha la Parsha, between one paragraph and the next, Shabain Daf la Daf, between one column and the next column, Shabatkila Sasefa, Shabasofa Sefa, that which is in the beginning of a book and the end of the book, you save those things. The Gemara says, V'tepekle Mishumahi, if you have a Sefer Torah where the letters were erased, so even if you don't have 85 letters left, but you still have the blank spots. So save it for the sake of the blank spots. The answer is, in that case, the guy is Vishad. What happens if the blank spots were already cut off? They were thrown away. So then you have to deal with, what about the letters? Can I find 85 letters left? But our question is, what about blank spots on their own? Hashma, come in here, proof, we learned. Hagilyon, the blank spots. Shomala the Shomata, above the writing and beneath the writing. Shabain Parsha la Parsha, between paragraph and a paragraph. Shabain Daf la Daf, between one column and the next. Shabatkhila sa Sefer, Vishabat Sofa Sefer, that which is in the beginning of a work and at the end of the book. Netamina Sayadain, we know that the rabbis created an impurity, that if you touch the parchment of the Sefer Torah, or the parchment of a Megillah, your hands become a Sheni Litzum. This impurity was created because people used to store their holy books together with the truma. And they figured truma is holy and the books are holy, we'll store them together. So when mice would come to eat truma, they would also nibble at the holy books. Therefore the rabbis made a law. They said, no, the books, you can't touch the books. If you touch them, your hands become tummy. Mara says, Dilma, maybe Agav Sefer Torah Shani. Maybe there's a difference when it's still part of a Sefer Torah. When it's still part of a Sefer Torah, then it creates Tuma to touch it. But our question is, when you don't have the rest of a Sefer Torah, and you just have these parts, you save them from a fire. Says the Gemara Tashma here, proof from another Brisa. We learned Tagilyonin, the blank parts, the Sifrei Minim, or the books of Torah written by heretics. Ein Matzilin Osim Mipnei Adleika. You don't save them from a fire on Shabbos. El Nisrafim Dem Koma. But rather, you let them get burned. Ein Vaskarosayim. Then, with their names of Hashem that are written in them. My love, Gilyon, the Sefer Torah. Isn't this Brisa saying that the blank parts of a Sefer Torah you don't save? It says, come on, no. Look, Gilyon, the Sifrei Minim. It means the blank parts of parchment in the Sifrei Torah written by the heretics. So the Gemara says, Hash to Sifrei Minim, grew fine way, Matzilin. If we don't save the Sefer Torah that was written by the heretics, Gilyon, Mibaya, is there even a question that we're not going to save the blank parts? Answer the Gemara, this is what it means. Maybe it's telling you that the books written by the heretics have the same status as blank parts, and you don't save them. And they're like blank parts, and you don't save them. But what about a blank part of the real Sefer Torah? that we haven't resolved. Okay, Gufa, we learned before, Agilyonim v'Sifrei Minim, the blank parts of a Sefer Torah, the books written by heretics, Ein Matzilin Osim Mipnei Hadleika, we don't save them from a fire. Rav Yossi, Omer, Rav Yossi says, B'chol, that's on Shabbos, during the week, Kodur Zaskara Shebehen V'Gonzan, you cut out the names of Hashem in the Sifrei Torah written by the heretics, V'Hashar Sorfan, and the rest you burn. And Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Tarfon said, no, you burn the whole thing. Akapeach as banai. Rabbi Tarfon said, I'll bury my children. In other words, I swear by the life of my children. Shem yavo liyadi. If I would have access to the Sifrei Torah written by the heretics, Shani esrof osam ves askaro shabahem. I'll burn them and the names of God in them. Shafilu Adam Rodif Achrav Lahorgov Anachash Ratz Lakisho. Because even if a person is chasing another Jew to kill him, or a snake is running to bite him, Nichnas Lebeis Avodah Zarah, that victim should run into a church, to a house of idolatry to be saved, Nichnas Lebeteim Shel Eli, and not go into the house of these Jewish heretics. Shalalu Makirin, because the Jewish heretics recognize their Creator, the Kofrin, and fight him and deny him. Halala, whereas the non-Jews who worship idols, ain makirin, they don't know God, the Kofrin, and they are denying God. Aleihem, about the Jewish heretics, the verse says, Akasav Omer, Achre Hadelas v'Mezuzah, behind the door post, Samta Zichroneich, you put your memory. In other words, that they remember the Creator behind the door, and they are deniers of the Almighty. I have to tell a story. There's a group, today it's not as popular as it once was, there's a group called the Kabbalah Learning Center. So this is a group that is really a cult, and they try to get people to give them money. And they got Madonna and Donna Karen, big people in Hollywood, to give them millions and millions of dollars. So before they became so popular with the non-Jews, they were really very much a Jewish cult. They would find Jews who are looking for inspiration, and they would convince them to quit their jobs, to go live in a group house in Kew Gardens and to sit on street corners in Manhattan, instead of selling flowers for Reverend Moon, to sell books by Rabbi Berg, Kabbalah books. He had a book called Kabbalah for the Layman and Astrology. So years ago, I was a little kid, there was a woman in Washington Heights who was had a good job at the UN, as a tour guide at the UN. And she fell in love with a devotee of this group, the Kabbalah Learning Center. So my father was involved trying to help this woman. She used to come over for Shabbos. And he was very bothered by the things that were going on. Rabbi Berg had, you know, had learned in yeshivos. He knew things. And they told this woman to quit her job at the UN, to go move into the group home with 30 other couples. She should go door to door selling the books of the Kabbalah Learning Center, which my father thought was very strange. And then they said to her that because her groom was from Israel and his family wanted to be at the wedding and they didn't want her to delay the wedding, they told her, you'll get married here. And then a month from now, in the summer, you'll go to Israel, you have a second wedding. So you'll do the whole thing, chuppah and sheva brachos here, and in a month you'll go do it again. So my father said, you can't do it again. It's a bracha levatala, it's a blessing in vain. They said, no. They said to my father, Rabbi Berg said to my father, he said, they're not religious anyway, it's okay, you know, you can go do it. So my father was disturbed. Like if you listen to God, you listen to God. You don't say you can go make blessings in vain because people are not religious. And then when he saw that they were putting all this pressure on her to quit the job at the UN and to lose all her money, she had benefits, she had health conditions, and to not get any, you know, health insurance and go door to door selling their books, he was really bothered. So he said to her, listen to me, drop the whole thing. Leave the guy, leave the group, you stay with your job. This is not what God wants from you. It's not good. So she said to my father, Rabbi Reichman, they have powers. They have Kabbalah and magic. If I leave them, they're going to curse me. I'm going to have my autoimmune disease come back. I can't leave them. So this is what I remember. My father took the books. Rabbi Berg had given my father all of his books, the books on the Kabbalah, on the Zohar. He took the books in front of this woman. He ran with the books to the incinerator, and he threw them down the chute. And he said, this is a Sefer Torah Shaksav Omin. This is a Torah book written by a Jewish heretic. This is what the Gemara says. You burn the whole thing with the names of God in it. It has no holiness. And you shouldn't listen to these people and just break away from this cult. And thank God, it saved her life. It saved her life. She broke away from the cult. I think they became more moderate later. They became less cultish. But this was back in the day. This is in the years ago. They used to have their devotees sitting out with a little table and, like, remember them on Fifth Avenue selling the books? And I remember my father said, the halacha is a Sefer Torah written by a heretic has no holiness. I'm going to go burn it in front of you. Don't be worried about these people. They can't do anything to you. This has no holiness. He said, I believe in the book of the Shulchan Aruch, the Jewish law and the Gemara. That has more holiness than any spell. So don't worry about these spells. Don't think, oh, if I do something against them, they're going to get me. I'll burn it in front of you. Don't worry. That's what he did. I remember that, and really, it saved her life. So that's this Gemara. A Sefer Torah written by a Jewish heretic has no holiness whatsoever. Says the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Shmuel Kal Vachomer. I'll tell you that through logic, you should burn the Sefer Torah written by the Jewish heretics. Here to make peace between man and a wife. Amra Torah, the Torah said, Shmi shenichtav b'kedusha yimachal amayim. My name written in holiness should be erased on the waters. Halalu the Jewish heretics. Shematilim kina ve'eva v'tachros ben Yisrael avim shebashamayim. They create resentment between God and the Jewish people. They make God upset at Jews. Alachas kama v'kama, certainly you burn whatever they have. Burn their holy books. Ba'aleihem, Amar David, about them King David said, Halo misan echa Hashem esna. Behold God, those who hate you, I'll hate. Uviskomemecha es kotat. And those who rise against you, I will oppose. Tachlis sinas nesin. The ultimate hatred, I've hated them. La'oivim hayuli, they were enemies to me. Ukishem shein atzin osmum fnei adleika. The same way you don't save them from the fire during Shabbos. Hachein matzilin osan. You also don't save them during the week. Lomanam apoles. Not from an avalanche. Lomanamayim. Or from a flood of water. Lomidavar ma'abdan. Or from anything that would destroy them. Boy, mine Yossi bar chinen mi rabavo. Yossi bar chinen asked the question of rabavo. Ani sifr debe avidan. These books of the house that should be destroyed. These were the books of the Christians. Jews used to write, these Jewish Christians used to write books to fight with the Jews. Do you save these holy books from the fire or not? So he wasn't so sure. He said yes, and he said no. He wasn't sure. All right, talking more about the Be'a Vida. Rav lo azal Be'a Vida. Rav would not go into Be'a Vida. He wouldn't go there. The Kosuke came the Bay Nitzrafi. And certainly he wouldn't go to the place called Bay Nitzrafi, where the Christians were. Shmuel Bay Nitzrafi lo azil. Shmuel wouldn't go to Bay Nitzrafi, but the Bay Avidan Azil would go to Bay Avidan. Amru lo Rava. They said to Rava, my time lo azil lo Bay Avidan. Why won't you ever come to Bay Avidan? This is the heretic. They said to Rava, why won't you come to Bay Avidan to debate with us? Amalu said to him, there is a deity on the way, but Kashali, it's hard for me to get through it. In other words, he gave them an excuse. They said, Yaakov, we'll uproot the date tree. And he said, Zuchte Kashuli. You know, once you uproot it, it's going to be hard for me to walk there. I'm going to trip. My bird, by Rav Yosef Amar, my the son of Rav Yosef said, Ana, I could go there. Minayu Ana. They recognize me. I'm not afraid of them. And he actually went once to debate with them. And unfortunately, it didn't work out. Bo the Sukune, they tried to kill him. They didn't like how they were losing the debate. And they tried to kill him. Right? This is throughout Jewish history. When Jewish rabbis get involved in debates against Christians and heretics, many times, if they don't like the fact that they lost, they attack the rabbi who debated them. Think about the Ramban. The Ramban had to debate the Jewish heretic, Pablo Cristiani. And the king and queen of Spain agreed that the Ramban won the debate. And they were so upset that he won the debate that they exiled him from Spain. And he had to run for his life to Israel. So the same thing over here. This is Masha Yahushiye, right? What did George Santayana say? One who doesn't remember history is destined to repeat history. So that's the same thing. You know, we've never had a good time with theological debates with heretics. Ima Shalom. Worse than Avodah Zarah. A Jew who's a heretic is worse than Avodah Zarah. Worse than Avodah Zarah. Because he's a Jew, he should know better. You know, a Jew who's peddling some false faith is worse than Avodah Zarah. Because he should know better. He's a Jew. He had a chance. He went to yeshiva. He was exposed to the real thing, and he's going to sell falsehood? That's worse. Worse than Avodah Zarah.
The 85
letters.
So anybody
comment
about the 85 is 13?
Nice, yeah. I'm sure there's a connection to that. Very nice. Ima Shalom, the visitor of Elazar. Ima Shalom was the wife of Elazar. After the Gamliel Avoy, she was the sister of Gamliel. Avahu philosopha, the Shivuse. There was a philosopher, a heretic, in their neighborhood. Kabul Shakal Shmadulam Kabul Shokhta. He put out a reputation about himself that he's very honest. He doesn't take bribes. People come to him for court cases. He doesn't take bribes. That's what he said. But in reality, he would take bribes. So Rabban Gamliel and his sister, Ima Shalom, wanted to make fun of this heretic. So what did they do? The Ima Shalom brought in a candelabra of gold. And Rabban Gamliel and his sister went to have a court case. Amrelei, Ima Shalom said, "Ba'ina dinafilna li benichsi de beinashi. I want Rabban Gamliel to divide with me the property of my father who passed away." Amlehu, so the philosopher said, "Plugu, okay, divide it up." Amrelei, Rabban Gamliel said, "Ksivlam b'makom bra brata lo teirut." But it says for us in our Torah that if there is a son, the daughter doesn't inherit; the son gets it all. Amrelei. So the heretic said, "Min yom adugalita me'arachon, ever since you've been exiled from your land, it natlis oraita de Moshe, the Torah of Moshe was taken from you. This yahav sifra achrita, and a different book was given to you. Uksiv bein, it says in that other book, ro brata kechadu yartan, a son and a daughter inherit together, equally. Amachar, the next day." So the next day, Rabban Gamliel came and he gave a bribe. He gave to this philosopher a bribe of a Libyan donkey. As we've seen, the Libyan donkeys are the best donkeys. Amaluhu. So now the heretic said, Shvilit l'seva the sifra. I was looking at the end of that new book. It says there, right? I'm looking at the new book, the Christian book. The new book, the New Testament at the end says, I'm not coming to do anything different from what Moshe said. Whatever Moshe said, you also listen to. I didn't come to add to Moshe's Torah. It says Moshe's Torah b'makom brabrato lo teirus. If there is a son, then the daughter doesn't get anything. The sister who had gotten the ruling she wanted the day before, she said to him, Nahor Nahirach Kishraga, let your light light like a lamp, like a candle. In other words, she's telling him, I gave you a bribe. What happened to the bribe I gave you yesterday? Amalei Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel made fun of him. He said, Asachamru Batish Lishraga. The camel came and he knocked off. The camel came and he kicked down the lamp. The camel came and kicked down the lamp. Okay, going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if you have a holy writing, a ksuvim in another language, that's the way Rav Chisda reads it, you still can save it from a fire, even though you're not supposed to learn it on Shabbos. When we pray mine korin ben, why don't you learn it on Shabbos? The Mishnah said, "Mipnei bittul beis hamedrash," because Shabbos is a time when you should be learning halacha. The Rav prepared a drasha with some halachos in the drasha, so it's not a time to be learning ksuvim. So Amar Rav, Rav said, "Lo shana this law that you're not supposed to learn ksuvim is ela bizman beis hamedrash, only during the drasha time. In other words, before the meal, early in the day. Avashalo bizman beis hamedrash, but if it's already after the drasha." And it's the afternoon, it's nap time. Then Korin, then you can read Ksuvim too. Shmuel Amar Shmuel said, "Afilu shalobas man beis hamedrash in Korin." Even when it's not the time of the drasha, it's not the time of the beis hamedrash, you're not to read Ksuvim. Any is this so? But Narda asked to Shmuel have. Narda was the town of Shmuel. Uben Narda paske sidra b'ksuvim b'minchasa d'shapsa. In Narda they used to read Ksuvim on Shabbos during Mincha. So you see that you can read Ksuvim even when it's not the time of the Beis Medrash. Ella says the Gemara, Yitmar, Hachi Yitmar. If something was taught, this is what was taught. Amar Rav, Rav said, Lo Shanu, Ella B'makom Beis HaMedrash. We only learn this in the place where there is a drasha. Avo Shalo B'makom Beis HaMedrash, but in a place where there's no Chacham to Darshan. Then Korin, then you're allowed to read Ksuvim. Shmuel Amar and Shmuel said, "Bein b'makom beis hamedrash, bein shelo b'makom beis hamedrash." Whether it's a place of a of a beis medrash or not, bizman beis hamedrash in korin. At the time of the beis medrash, you shouldn't be reading Ksuvim. Shelo bizman beis hamedrash. When it's not the time of the beis medrash, korin, you can read Ksuvim. As the Shmuel etamei. Shmuel's being consistent. The Benarda, because in the Harda, Paski Sidra de Ksuvim be Minchas of the Shabsa. In the Harda, they used to read some Ksuvim in Mincha of Shabbos, because that's not the time of Beis Medrash. Yeah, question.
Is it true when the rabbi is speaking at Knesset or Shul, and somebody reading another
Gemara? Oh, interesting. I guess so. It sounds not so kavod. That's true too. But I don't think the issue here is kavod. I think here the issue is more that if you have a chance to learn halacha, you should be learning halacha. You shouldn't be learning other things. Halacha is the best thing to learn. Ravash Yom Ravash said, "Lolum kedamar meikara." Really, the answer is what we said originally. That according to Shmuel, you don't learn ksuvim even when it's not the time of the Beis Medrash. Shmuel Rabbi Nechemya, Shmuel is following the view of Rabbi Nechemya. The time of the Braisa, Havel Bisha Amr Kitzvi Hakodesh and Korin Behen. Even though they said you're not supposed to learn Ksuvim, Havel Shonen Behen, but you can learn the Midrashim that are on the Ksuvim, the Darshan Behen, and you can interpret them. Nitzach LePasuk, and if during the drasha the Rabbi needs a pasuk, so maybe Viroibo, you can bring the Ksuvim, look at it, and then quote it from there. Abraham Nechemya said, "Ipnei Ma'amru, why they say Kisvi Hakodesh and Korin Behem? Why they say you don't read Kisvi Hakodesh? Kidei Shiyomru, that people will say the Kisvi Hakodesh ain't Korin. We're not even going to read Ksuvim. Certainly we shouldn't be reading newspapers and secular writings. Okay, let's stop. Let's stop here and continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem.